I'm just back in New Rotterdam right now, and I was there in England for almost 3 weeks, and then I'll be going to Mayapur in 2 weeks. But I'll only be going there for, I think I mentioned that the last time, just for 2 weeks also. Okay, I have 45 minutes. Go ahead. Is there anything to talk about before we have some questions? Any news on books?
He planned to talk about the schooling for Gurukula children, and this way so many devotees is tuned in.
Fantastic. Okay, we'll continue with the schooling for the Gurukul children.
Questions here.
Okay, let's go.
Hare Krishna, and this is question. Guru Maharaj, many devotees are studying in normal schools, and it's not unusual for us. And when children become teenagers, they very much changed. They're not chanting anymore the japa, and they're not worshipping the deities, not going to the temple, and they actually not thinking that we don't want to be Krishna conscious, but how we should deal with these children and this situation? The question to it is, like a sub-question. Can the parents help or, change anyhow, and there is any chance that, to turn them to the full practice of Krishna consciousness?
Okay. Yeah. So, I won't, we've already gone over the first part, is that generally that is what will happen, is that devotees, as they become older, if they associate with non-devotees, then those characteristics will rub off on them. And that really gets exasperated when they become teenagers. Because if you all remember, when you become teenagers, then the natural psychology is to rebel against anything that you've been taught. So to rebel against the parents also. So you cannot force them. If you force them, you will just get the opposite result. It will be natural. The children, when they're very young, then they just imitate everything that they do. Or they imitate what they see. They imitate their parents. So then, everyone thinks that my child is like Prahlad Maharaj. They're going to be pure devotees. And then if children are in a situation where they're associating with non-devotees, they will also start to imitate that. And they'll also start to want the things that the non-devotee children have. Rock music, movies, television, video games. And then when they hit the teenage, then on top of that comes the fact that they're sort of naturally going to rebel. It becomes part of the psychology. And then so other habits like drugs, illicit sex, you name it. Probably the very rare thing that children get into is eating meat. That somehow or another is, not something that they do. But underneath it all, because they've been connected with Krishna consciousness, it's in their heart. They are devotees, or at least their religion is Krishna consciousness. Okay, so now the question is what to do. So the most important thing, as I mentioned the last time, is the parents. The parents' example will be the most important influence on the children. So the most important influence is the parents. Anyway, we did good for 12 minutes. Let's see if we can continue. But the most important thing, as I mentioned, was the example of the parents. And the important thing is the suitable example. Okay, well, let's say that one more time. The most important influence is the parents, and that they set a good example. Parents can't try to force the youth. They now have to just follow. Well, while the going's good, Okay, so I'm still with this same point, is that the example of the parents is the most important thing. But at this stage, it's only the example. For youth, you cannot use any type of force. You can't force them to do anything. And you have to know good psychology, how to deal with them. And if they don't do all the things that they did, well, then that's all right. Try to encourage them to do whatever they would like to do. One thing that I see that children, youth, and even adults really are into is kirtan. Yeah, and you know, the bhajan kirtans that we have, they're spreading more and more throughout ISKCON. It's a form of entertainment that youth get into that's very good for them. And obviously it also is getting them to chant Hare Krishna, which is very good for them. So one real secret is to get children into playing instruments, some instrument when they're young, harmonium, mridanga. And if they're good at playing instruments, then it becomes something that also has some social connection for them. And when the other youth are doing it, then it becomes part of the peer activity, which is common to them all, so it's very helpful. So my experience seeing it in England and in Hungary or other places that I go is that it's something that the young people are really, really into, kirtan. It's almost like their equivalent of a rock festival or something. And that's a good thing to anchor them to. And then if you can find other similar activities, common activities, such as attendance at festivals and, you know, going out and doing things together, which engages them and at the same time doesn't let them stray into sort of real dangerous waters, then those you could find. But otherwise, it's not an easy thing. The question is really about how to undo the bad effects, and it's not something that you can really undo. You can just sort of try to limit the damage that it does. But in the formative years, when they're up to 6, 7, 8 years old, if children really get a very good experience of Krishna consciousness, then you know, they may be able to resist to greater or lesser degrees. Okay, any more questions on that?
Or we should think that everything under Krishna control and should we just be in peace?
Oh, everything's under Krishna's control? What do you mean? What about Maya's control? Well, if we make arrangements to put ourselves under Krishna's control, then it's under Krishna's control. But if not, then there's the material energy, and we're under the control of material energy. So that's a philosophical understanding, that everything's under Krishna's control. If we make a choice to be in Maya, or if we let someone else stray into Maya, that's not under Krishna's control. And that's the responsibility of parenthood, is to how to raise children so that they're Krishna conscious. Otherwise, Guru na satsyat, Pita na satsyat. Otherwise, people are encouraged, don't become a parent unless you can deliver your child. So that's Krishna's instruction, is that you liberate your children, not that you let them go off into the material energy. I think that should be pretty clear. Something else along this question?
What are values of the children we should formulate in them, and what the process of, to make a person, a persona?
It's the same thing, that the parents have to have the values. So what values do the parents live by? They should have already lived by those values before they have children, and be very, very clear what kind of example they're setting for their children. And that's exactly what sort of education for children is that we actually want to give them values and have them actually adopt those values, so that when they come to that stage of becoming independent, that they've accepted them and they can control themselves based on the values they've received. And then if, you know, they don't want to follow, that's their thing, but at least the parents' responsibility is that they've given them the best that they can. And for that, the parents need to be clear what are the values by which they live. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be said about all of these things. If you say that there's a lot of questions, then maybe we should go on. But maybe if devotees have other questions that they want to just ask while we're talking about these. Okay, so then on the topic of values, then we're clear on that. Because there are different standards that people follow in Krishna consciousness. Certainly, we cannot expect a higher standard from children than we follow ourselves. So one good example that parents are generally very successful is what I mentioned about meat eating. Because, you know, being a vegetarian is a pretty black and white thing. So parents are generally really very successful at communicating why we're vegetarians to very, very young children. So much so that, you know, even young children, 3, 4, 5 years old, they won't eat meat. If they know what it is, they won't accept it because they've already picked up the value. And I think the reason that children pick up on that so well is because the parents feel so strongly about it. So the father, mother, they don't disagree on it. They're all unified in the whole concept of being a vegetarian. And so the child really gets a very uniform and a very strong message. So in the same way, it's sort of part of being a husband and wife is that husband and wife, they discuss what their values in Krishna consciousness are. They agree on them. And then when they have children, then they communicate them to the children. So if we can be as successful with other issues like with meat eating, then I think we'd have a much higher success rate of learning or teaching children how to say no to the material energy. And one of the things that I've seen is that parents don't necessarily prepare for parental life, for what they're going to teach children. In other words, they don't sit down, they don't discuss in advance, point by point, how it is that they're going to raise children and what they want to teach them. And then often the standards that they hand over are standards that they were brought up with, which are not Krishna conscious standards. More questions? Okay, shoot.
Is there any steps how we need to give spiritual knowledge to the children?
Yeah, of course. There's in the same way that you educate. Are these translated, or does everyone know what these questions are? Okay. This is it's education. It's just like you educate children in anything. So parents need to know child psychology, and they need to know how to make teaching children fun and how to transmit both knowledge as well as values. I think there are just some certain basic mistakes that parents need to avoid that at least I've observed. One is this mistake that their children are pure devotees and are immune to the material energy. Especially when the children are very small, 2, 3, 4 years old. At that stage, they're really sort of not sort of connected with the world around them, and they're imitating everything that they see, which means that, you know, they're playing Hanuman and Ram and Sita and so on. And children then are really very, very Krishna conscious, because their only play is Krishna consciousness, and they're so absorbed in play, they're really absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Or dancing in kirtan, or chanting, or playing instruments, so they really get into everything. And the parents think that this is because the children are actually pure, or because they're Krishna conscious. It's not because the children are necessarily so pure, because later on we find out that they do all kinds of nonsense as well. Although devotee children are certainly special, but the reason is because they're copying what they see, and just like we do as adults, and that they're influenced by whatever they associate with. So this sort of mistake is to think that, well, they're just going to continue like that and, you know, by themselves, and be, you know, Prahlad Maharajas and Narada Munis. But then, as we see, actually later on, by their associating more and more with materialistic people and the material energy, they start to take on those qualities, and those qualities then actually start to drag them down. So I think that's one thing, one principle that parents need to know, that children will be affected by what they see and by what they hear. And then, of course, it's impossible for us to completely isolate them from the world around us. But if, number one, we don't insulate them through knowledge, by educating them how to protect themselves, and if we don't have their connection with the outside world in a sort of restricted way, then they're going to become very, very quickly contaminated. So this misconception that it's all right to, you know, see a movie or see a cartoon or watch TV, because adults make the same mistake with themselves. They think that they can do that and be Krishna conscious. But it's not true, because it compromises their Krishna consciousness also. Our whole philosophy is based on the fact that whatever you associate with, that's what you become. And if you associate with television, that's what you become. Or so many other things. I think right now I'm just sort of mentioning a few principles or having a realistic view of how difficult it is to actually parent and raise children in a very hostile environment. On the other hand, we see that, you know, there are certain religious communities that do a good job. For instance, the Muslim communities have certain habits that are very, very strict, and they're really able to pass it on to the next generation. There's an interesting example also of the Amish. They also live in a community. Both of these, both Muslim and Amish, are because they have very strong community standards. Just a minute, I ran out of battery, so I'm going to have to, I think, change the battery.
Just a minute.
So I'll just finish on this topic. And that is that this idea of actually, it's not even enough just the family, but because the community has common values, therefore they're able to really communicate them and pass them on to the children. And then, you know, the Amish do a very interesting thing. At age 16, they tell the children, okay, for 16 years, you've had to follow all the rules. They make them follow all the rules. Now you can choose to do whatever you want. Until 16 years, actually, they don't even say that they're a member of the church. They have to be at least 17 or 18 years old before they can join and become a member. And then between 16 and 18, they say, if you want to stay, obviously, and you know, continue on, then they're welcome. If they want to go experiment in the material world, then they're welcome to do that. And their statistics are that they have about 90% of the children either stay in all the time, or stay in, they go out, and they come back after that 1 or 2 years. In other words, that 90% of the children continue on in their same lifestyle. And in many ways, they're much more strict than us. So once again, it's just how good the parenting is, how good the community structure is, how well we have common things. You know, even when amongst five families of devotees, you have five different standards, then even the devotee children will get confused. And that's the problem. Okay. Do we want to continue this next time we talk also?
Probably, Guru Maharaj, because so many questions are still there.
Okay. I mean, are these satisfactory answers? Or I would also be happy to have a sort of conversation, because right now we're just having question and answer. In other words, I don't need to talk for 10 minutes at the time. I can just talk for 1 minute at a time if we have more interactive conversation. So I'm open to that. It's just up to you to be brave enough to talk like that. Okay.